Well, good morning and welcome to you all at this contemporary service from St Andrew's and All Saints Online. A really warm welcome to everybody, and particularly to those people who might be looking in who are not normally part of our congregation. We are really glad to have you with us, and you are really welcome. My name is Dave Bruce, I'm the rector, and Judith, one of our lay ministers, will be speaking to us later today as we continue to our series looking at encounters with the risen Jesus. And even though we may be meeting apart today, I want to encourage us all that God is here in our midst, wherever we are. That this isn't just a service to a presentation to watch, but a service to participate in, to meet with our God in, through the words, through the songs, through the music, through the quiet. I encourage you to open your hearts to God who longs to meet you this morning. And I want to begin with some words from Isaiah 40. Which particularly I want to speak to those of us who have found this week a bit of a tougher week and are perhaps struggling at times in some of lockdown. And just hear these words again from God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And so may our God give us strength as we wait on him today. May he meet us as we worship him now.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon. We will wait upon the Lord. Now God,
And so receive our adoration. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are with us now by your Spirit. We thank you that you know us and love us and walk with us. And we want to open our hearts to you this morning, to know you more deeply, to live more as you call us to, and to worship you more wholeheartedly. Lift our hearts to you, we pray, as we gather here this morning. Amen. Well, it's been great over these last few days to hear lots of different stories of what many of you are doing out there on your front lines in the community to support others. Those of you who are key workers, we continue to pray for you in your different roles. You are much in our prayers. Thank you to those people who've been delivering shopping for others, who've been ringing around and supporting people. We've had some lovely stories this week of particularly people helping their neighbours in real need, and we've been able to bless one or two people with the Blessings Fund money too. So thank you for all that you are doing. And we've got another idea which Alice and Helen have particularly come up with, which we'd love to invite you to join us in as a way of continuing to support people who are struggling with lockdown. And whether you're young or old or on your own or in a family, you might be able to take part in this. So let's hear all about it from Alice and Helen.
Hello everyone, we miss you all so much. We're living the lockdown parenting reality every day here in our home, like many of you. And sure, there are good times, but it is a time when we can be stretched to the very limits. And probably because of that, I've found my thoughts and prayers drifting often to those families where life was already incredibly stretched before lockdown. Homes where parents and carers were already struggling to cope with the demands of everyday life. Homes where physical space might be limited. Homes where relationships might be under huge pressure. Homes where mental health issues make it really difficult for parents and carers to really engage with children all day, every day. And homes where just getting food on the table and paying the bills is a big enough issue, let alone homeschooling. Or what about if you're elderly and live alone and the usual social support structures that were in place, the friendly interactions of the day, they've all been stripped away and you find yourself alone at home for every day, for weeks and months on end. These people, the stretched families, the vulnerable kids, those alone every day, I've been thinking, how might we bring something of God's hope and peace at this time? The story that's had a really big impact on me this Easter is when Jesus came to visit the disciples in the locked room after his resurrection. The disciples were locked in, fearful and without hope because their leader had died. And then the resurrected Jesus gently invades their locked in space. He comes to them and he brings his peace and power to face the future. And I've been thinking, how might we be part of God's work to gently invade people's locked-in spaces, that Jesus might bring some of his peace and hope and power to those who might feel alone, fearful, or stretched beyond their limits. And with this in mind, we're hoping to create and deliver some boredom bags. Here they are. To as many of these vulnerable families or isolated people that we have contacts for, through our contacts at the Octagon, through our contacts in the schools, through contacts in the community and through the church. And here's Helen to tell you more of how you can get involved with the Boredom Bag Project and be a part of bringing a little bit of God's peace and hope to others at this time.
Thanks, Alice. That's brilliant. This is the sort of bag you could make for an adult. It's open-ended with handles and there's all sorts of things you could put in. We'd love some of them to be homemade. So what about some homemade puzzles or a card making kit with perhaps a couple of stamps? Maybe you could make a hammer bead heart just to show people you're thinking about them. What about a small book that offers words of hope and encouragement, magazines, chocolate, hand cream? I'm sure you've got lots of ideas. And then this is the bag you could make, the type of bag you can make for children. So it's a drawstring bag this time. And we'd love you to fill it with homemade games, with challenges, ideas of things that children could do, maybe a few craft kits, maybe some colouring books or some stickers, maybe some small games or toys that you've got that you could pop in. And don't worry too much if you haven't got felt pens or colouring pencils. I've got those and glue sticks that I can add in if need be. We'd love you to write a card to the families or to the adults, just showing that you're thinking of them and sharing a few words of hope and encouragement with them. When you've made your bags, whether you've just sewn bags, whether you've just made craft kits, or whether you've done the whole complete thing, then we'd love you to bring them to Alice's house or my house, leave them in the box in the porch where they'll be cleaned and quarantined and then delivered. Loads more information on the website. Do have a look. We'd love you to get involved. It's a really exciting project. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Alice and Helen, for just that information. And I really do encourage you to get involved in the Borden Bag Project and do your little bit to help people in our communities if you're able to. And more details, as Helen says, are on the website, either underneath this service or on Helen's little blog post all about that, with more details of how you can support. Well, this morning we're going to be particularly thinking about encountering the risen Jesus again and looking at the story of Thomas, doubting Thomas. And it's amazing, looking at the Bible, we see how meeting the risen Jesus completely transformed the lives of those first disciples. And we believe, we know for ourselves, that meeting the risen Jesus now, 2,000 years later, by his Spirit, transforms people still. And Lisa, one of our congregation members, is going to share something of her own story, her own journey of the last few years, as to how she has met Jesus and how that's completely changed her whole life.
And I thought I'd share where Jesus has been transforming my life. So here's a little bit of my testimony. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. In fact, I wasn't brought up in the most conventional home. I left home very early age of 12, so I learned very quickly how to become very independent, and from the outside, looked like I was pretty successful. And it wasn't until I moved to another work setting, which is the Bridge in Malvern, where my perceptions of church had really been broken down. So I was surrounded by a lot of Christians, and I was definitely in that place of belonging before believing, just kind of embraced within that community. And it was through kind of attending church with some work colleagues to see them in a whole different light, to see what Christian community looks like. So I did kind of throw myself in there, really. But my authenticity of faith didn't come just through being in Christian community. It really came when I had a really deep encounter with God, where I realised that he shared our humanity and he came to this earth in order to release us from this fear of death and to give us a relationship with our Creator God in heaven. And it wasn't through that deep realisation of what Jesus had done for me and how I'd been living my life so without him all of my 27 years that I just fell in love and was just so bulldozed by what he'd done for me that it completely transformed my life. So, you know, what does that look like? Well, I can tell you that I am not the same person that I was four and a bit years ago. And every area of my life has completely transformed in such a new way. And there has been trials in that, of course. But re-entering relationships with family has been one of the most significant areas that I've seen Jesus at work. And walking through forgiveness and the healing journey, but actually, you know, seeing that that we can do relationships so differently with Jesus as being one of the most significant areas for both mine and Emma's life. Another area is just in parenting, just parenting Emma in a way that I would never have parented before knowing Jesus, and just giving her in the hope to give an eternal perspective that actually we have a purpose here on earth for God, and we are to live that life out, loving people the way that he loves us individually. And yeah, I guess my heart for those that are listening that don't know Jesus and did have the perception that I had, where a church is just a building, may I encourage you that COVID is teaching us exactly that it's not. That actually the foundations of Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus, and without that relationship with Jesus, then we cannot be transformed and we cannot love the way that he loves us. So may I encourage you to open your eyes and open your hearts and ask God to open those for you and to meet with him so you can join him on your adventure.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's great to share our stories, isn't it? And to hear of what God has done in other people's lives. And I want to just say, if you're watching in this and all this is new to you, perhaps you haven't experienced for yourself what Lisa's just described, perhaps if you're wanting to explore faith and wanting to explore what Christianity is all about, then we have an online alpha course which is starting on Thursday the 30th of April at 7:45 online via Zoom. And we would love to invite you to come and join us to explore together in a really relaxed and unjudgmental environment. We watch a video and then we have a discussion after that, and no question is out of bounds. People can be really honest and say what they think, and we can explore together. There are details of our Alpha course on the website, and if you've been wanting to have somewhere to process some of the big questions that may have arisen during this time of coronavirus, then we would love for you to join us. Do have a look on our website, and there's a link underneath this service on our website page too. And do connect with us, send us an email, and we'll send you details of how you can join that course. But why not come and use this time of lockdown to explore the big questions of life? Well, our children and young people are going to go off to their own activities now. The children's activities are on the website if you'd like to download those. The young people have got their Zoom session with Eddie. And the rest of us are going to return to some sung worship. But as we do, I want to just read some words from the prophet Joel. Words which I've been reminded of this week as we are in a place where everything is stripped away, where so much of normal life has gone. And the words of Joel chapter 2 say this: "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." And Father God, as we come to you at this time where so much is stripped away, may you align our hearts again with yours. May we return to you with all of our hearts. May we acknowledge your greatness and your majesty. May we learn to truly strip everything else away and worship you alone. Let's sing and worship our God.
Away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I needed. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. What you have required, you search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I needed. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the I believe.
Spirit of God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection.
Today's reading is John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have his life in his name.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's talk. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Judith and I am one of the lay ministers at St Andrews, and I'm really, really pleased to have this chance today to talk about this wonderful story about the Apostle Thomas. So before we start, let's just pray briefly. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that through the ages it has been speaking to people. And as we look at this together, we pray that you would speak to us and into our hearts, and that you give me words that would communicate what you want to say. Amen. So for those of you who watched the contemporary service last week, the video clip showed this story of Thomas, who first of all was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them, and then later on, after having stated that he wasn't going to believe that Jesus was alive unless he could see him, he did in fact meet Jesus himself. And Thomas is probably most famous for giving us that expression, "Doubting Thomas," which really, when you look at it in the context of what had happened before, is a bit unfair, to be honest. Because as we heard last week, others had doubted too that Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples didn't believe Mary and the women at first. And it was only when they met Jesus themselves in a locked room that they believed. And in fact, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, which is exactly what Thomas wanted to see too. So I think Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap, really, being called Doubting Thomas. So why didn't Thomas believe at first? Well, frankly, it was pretty unbelievable, wasn't it, that this man who they'd seen die was supposedly alive again. Maybe you find it hard to believe too. There's plenty of people today who think it is complete nonsense. And most people grow up outside the church and they don't really get a chance to find out about Jesus or to question whether in fact it is nonsense or not. But I wonder too, with Thomas, whether there was perhaps a slight feeling of, jealousy, being left out? Everyone else is claiming to have met Jesus. Well, wasn't he Jesus's friend too? Why had he got left out? Why did he appear when he wasn't there? Maybe a sense of, well, he too wanted to see Jesus if this was really true. Or maybe he was just a very rational man who really liked facts. And I can identify that. Certainly when I'm making management decisions at work, I like them to be based on evidence where possible. But I think the first thing I really draw out of this story is that people come to believe in different ways and at different times and for different reasons. And that is absolutely okay. So for some, it might be through reading or hearing the word of God. And in fact, in verse 31, in our reading, John says that he wrote this book that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that was probably very true for me. I think I first really started exploring faith through reading the Bible, and I got to a point where it kind of seemed to make enough sense to me to give it a go. But for other people, they might be more convinced about things by hearing the experience of others, seeing how their belief influences them and their life. And so we see that although the disciples didn't really believe Mary when she came saying that the tomb was empty, we're told that Simon did go and have a look. It wasn't quite enough to get him to believe, but it was certainly enough to get him wondering and thinking and asking. So the experience of others can be so important, and that's why partly we share testimonies through our services and on our web pages about people's belief and encounters with Jesus. But then others, like Thomas, really seem to need that personal experience. And I remember as a young Christian, I had a friend who used to say, I couldn't believe like you do. And in retrospect, now I'm a bit older and hopefully wiser, I look back and think he wanted to believe, but my experience wasn't enough for him. And he really needed his own experience. And I should have told him, you don't need to believe like me. You need to find your own belief and ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. So for some of us, we might take several of those steps. So again, talking about myself, I started off reading the Bible. Then I met people who lived like they knew Jesus and talked about him. And then very gradually, I came to experience his presence in my life. But the end result, however we get there, should be the same. That change of perspective as to who Jesus is, Lord and God, as Thomas said. And I just wonder, which describes you at this point? Where are you? Are you at the beginning of that journey, really doubting whether Jesus perhaps ever lived, let alone whether he rose from the dead? Are you beginning to be convinced? You've been reading and you want to find out more? Or are you at a point where you are very clear, yes, you do believe? So there's different ways then of coming to believe, all of them equally valid. But the second thing that I got from this passage is that Jesus allows us to doubt, and he allows us to express those doubts. And we see this because he doesn't tell Thomas off. He respected his doubts and what Thomas said he needed to be able to believe, to be able to see Jesus and to see his hands and his sides. And he very graciously met that need and helped Thomas to find belief. And I believe that Jesus wants us to believe. He doesn't want to make it difficult. And so, you know, if we tell him what our problems are and where our questions are, where our doubts are, that enables him to respond to those and do something about it. And so because of that, it's really important to be honest about the doubts that we have, all the questions that we have, things that we don't understand. You know, we might think it's more spiritual to not express doubts and to claim that everything is wonderful and we've got it all taped. But actually, that's not honest, is it? and it won't enable us to meet with Jesus so that he can actually deal with those questions and answer them for us, which I believe he will do. Again, I remember when I was at that very early stage in exploring faith for myself, and I've told this story before, so apologies those of you who have heard it. But one of the really sticking points for me was I just didn't understand why Jesus had to die in the first place. And so I asked God about it, feeling a little bit foolish, but that's what I've been encouraged to do. And I very clearly felt directed to read a part of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 5 to 6. To the best of my knowledge, I'd never read that before. I'd never seen it before. I had no way of knowing what that passage was about. But when I looked it up, it absolutely answered my question. And it was on those light bulb moments where I thought, oh, I see, I get it, I understand now. And so if we're honest about those doubts, God can answer them and help us to face them and hopefully begin to find our way through them. You know, in this story, Jesus came into a closed room, a locked space, and he brought peace and he brought an encounter with him. And so I think it's really important that we don't close our mind or our heart, but they're willing to open them to him, to let him to bring us that sense of peace and his presence as well. So if you have doubts or questions, things you're not sure about, why not tell Jesus? Or if you're not quite ready for that, perhaps ask another person who you know does believe, or perhaps is a little bit further on in the Christian journey than you, and ask them what they think. And there's a fantastic opportunity at Alpha, which is going to be running online, I understand, soon, where you can come wherever you're at and ask those questions, express your doubts, say if you think it's nonsense, say if you do believe but there's still things you don't understand. Just be open and honest and explore those questions that you have. So that's about expressing our doubts to Jesus. But you know, one of the other things I found interesting in this passage and other similar passages before them where Jesus meets his disciples, most of the time Jesus appeared to a group, not to individuals. And it just got me thinking that that must have been great for them in the future, because they would have been able to reassure each other that it really did happen. It just seems to me that if they'd been on their own, perhaps many years into the future they'd have been looking back, perhaps at a time of doubt or despondency, and think, did that really happen? Was I mistaken? Did I imagine it? Was I hallucinating? But because they were together, they would have been able to encourage each other. No, it really did happen. We were all there. Don't you remember? We were there together. We saw him. It was real. And this really shows the importance of each other in our faith, doesn't it? And it's hard at this time when we can't meet together physically, but we can still meet together virtually and then encourage each other. When my lovely mother-in-law was dying from a brain tumour, I remember we went to visit her one weekend. She had a strong Christian faith, but she was obviously going through a time of doubt. And I remember her trying to talk to me, and it was difficult because the speech centres of her brain had been affected by the tumour. But eventually I said to her, are you trying to ask me whether I believe it's true? Do I really believe? And she looked at me very relieved. She got this across and said, yes. And I said, yeah, I do. I do believe it. And, you know, that's all she needed to hear. And I could just see her body relaxed, and you could see the peace come into her face. And we started talking about something else. I didn't have to go into huge detail. I didn't have to give her the 3-point sermon. She knew all that. All she needed at that time of doubt was somebody to come alongside her and say, it's OK, you're not alone. I believe too, and I'm believing with you, and I'm believing for you. So I've talked about us, I've talked about our doubts and helping each other in them. But the last thing I want to talk about is whether we are ready, particularly in the church, to allow others to doubt and to express their doubts. Or do we in effect say, a bit like the title of this talk, stop doubting and believe, without really trying to help and understand? Do we take people seriously in the way that Jesus took Thomas seriously and try and explore with them what their doubts and their questions are? Do we let people say that they think it all sounds like nonsense, or do we think we've got to jump in and explain it all and justify it and go through the Bible and tell them why they shouldn't be doubting? Because that's not what Jesus did, is it? But I think this is also another reason for us to be honest about our doubts, in order to be real to other people who are not sure, perhaps themselves. Because if we claim to have it all sewn up, no problems, no questions, no doubts, it could be difficult for others to be honest about their questions and where they are. Again, I remember many years ago, I was in a student Christian group, and we had a visitor who was quite well known in Christian circles, and we were really looking forward to her talk. And she started off by basically saying she didn't have any problems in her Christian life, she'd never gone through a dry period, she didn't have any doubts in her faith whatsoever. The problem with that is, first of all, I don't think any of us really believed her, and we were all sort of looking around each other. And so she lost credibility and, you know, in what she subsequently said. But secondly, we didn't feel we could relate to her, so we didn't feel able to be honest about our own questions. And it became quite an awkward session, from what I remember. So what I'm saying is, let's give people room and permission to be honest about their doubts and to be ready to be honest about ours with them, and that way we can have much more real and meaningful conversations. So what I've covered is the different ways that we can come to believe and how all of those are valid and equally important for different people. I've talked about being honest about our doubts, and that by doing that, we enable Jesus to come alongside us and help us deal with any doubts or questions or uncertainties that we have. But it might also help others in their journey if we are honest about our doubts and allow them to be honest about theirs. And so as I finish, I'm just going to have a time of quiet, and I'd just like to ask each one of you, and I'll ask myself as well, is there a doubt that you have, or is there perhaps a question that you have that you've never just been quite sure about, something that doesn't quite make sense to you, that you would like to tell God about, or that you might like to ask somebody else about over the next few days or weeks, maybe even come along to Alpha when it starts? Or maybe you feel fairly confident and comfortable at the moment, and you'd just like a moment to express your thanks to God for having met Jesus in your life. So we'll just take a moment of quiet to think about that, whether there is any doubt or question that we want to bring before God, and then I'll say a prayer of response that you may wish to join in. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus, and we thank you that he took that time to come back and meet people in their doubts and questions, and that in doing so, he enabled them to come to a belief that lasted for the rest of their lives. And we pray that as we bring our doubts and our questions and our thoughts towards you, that we would find you ministering in our lives and strengthening our faith also. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Second Chronicles chapter 7 tells us that when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge that parts of the world have seen drought. Parts of Africa have had terrible swarms of locusts, and almost every country in our world has now been touched by the coronavirus pandemic. I pray that you will show each of us what it means for us to humble ourselves before you. We pray for people we know who have the virus or who are recovering. We pray for total healing of their bodies without lasting damage. We pause for a few moments to remember those known to us. We pray for all healthcare and other frontline workers, for protection from the virus, and for mental, physical, and emotional strength as they carry out this challenging work. We particularly remember those from the congregations of St Andrew's and All Saints and their families, praying that they will have opportunities to minister your grace and love to patients and colleagues as they work. We pause for a few moments to remember those known to us. We pray for our country and particularly for those in leadership. We thank you for Boris's return to health and pray that you will give wisdom to him and to other ministers making key decisions. We pray that they will be able to sift the conflicting advice that is pouring in, to get the right balance of action to support the wide-ranging medical, social and economic needs of our country. We pause for a few moments to bring particular areas of concern to God. We pray for other countries of the world, and particularly for those who lack the medical and economic infrastructure to cope with the pandemic. We pray for your mercy on those countries and that you will guide their governments as they seek to keep the number of cases low, and for your protection on their people. We remember the words from Chronicles and ask you to heal their lands. We particularly remember our mission partners Ben and Katie and their young family living in Tanzania, and ask for wisdom and protection for them at this time. We join together now in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we're coming to the end of our service now, and we want to thank you for joining us once again, wherever you are. We hope it's been an encouragement and a blessing to you and drawn you closer to your God today. Just a reminder that if you're watching it on Sunday morning, that at 12 o'clock today, we are as normal going to have our Zoom coffee and chat sessions in different chat rooms. And details of that were sent out on the mailing. If you aren't on the mailing, then please do email me from the get my email from the website, and I can send you the details and put you on our mailing list if you would like that. Do join us for our Alpha course if that's something that might be interesting for you, or feel free just to get in touch with us and find out some more information and look again at the details that are up on the website. I want to just encourage you again as well to say that we are praying regularly for each of you. And if there's anything specifically that you would like prayer for, if there's any particular support that you need, then please do get in touch with us. Send us your prayer request by our special Pray One For Me at standrewsandallsaints.org email. And we would love to just continue to support you through these times. If you've got stories of what God's been doing, what God's been saying to you, stories of how God's used you, then please do send them in on video or on just in some text. We would love to be encouraged by your stories. And if you are just a visitor today, just checking us out, then please do email me. I would love to know who else is listening in, and we'd love to connect with you and find out more and just connect together. We're going to finish today by Debbie, one of our worship leaders, singing us out with a special blessing that she wants to share with us. So may God bless you. May you keep safe. May you keep drawing close to your God, to knowing him, to knowing his presence with you, and being all that he wants you to be, to live for him and to share and demonstrate and proclaim God's love in this time to our communities. God bless, and let's finish with the blessing.
Peace of God, which passes understanding, fill our spirits right at this moment. May the peace of God, which passes